case is of unusual significance for at least two reasons. First, the case is very significant to my client, CareFirst. In the commissioner's June 30 order, which is before the court today, CareFirst, through no fault of its own, based on legislation that was passed by a sovereign state, faces an order that would place it in a position which would render it unable to comply with its regulatory duties. Secondly, the order, if enforced, would deprive CareFirst of any rights under the affiliation which everyone in this case agrees has fulfilled and continues to fulfill the objectives that the Delaware Insurance Commissioner set forth when she approved the affiliation in 2000. CareFirst would lose all of its rights in the Blue Cross and Blue Shield marks in Delaware. It would lose a substantial investment in BCBSD. That is not an investment based on what it paid for BCBSD at the time of the affiliation, because it paid nothing. However, the economic basis of the affiliation has been that CareFirst has provided services at cost to BCBSD, which have been of great advantage to it. In return, the advantage to CareFirst has been that it has economies of scale, it has a presence in the state of Delaware, which is very important to it in the competitive environment, which is now in the health insurance market. If the commissioner's order is enforced, CareFirst will lose that important presence in Delaware to its detriment. Second, this case is significant for BCBSD, as well as healthcare subscribers in Delaware and elsewhere. As I mentioned, everyone agrees that multi-state combinations such as this one are beneficial and indeed necessary in the market today. And yet, respectfully, the two commissioners in this case have raised real questions as to whether they're up to dealing with these types of arrangements. The Delaware commissioner in particular has imposed a remedy, complete disaffiliation, that no party, including CareFirst or BCBSD, requested or wants. If the order is enforced, it will be a net loss to both companies, and we submit to healthcare subscribers in Delaware. From the standpoint of the public and the companies, that would be a very undesirable result. But the commissioner's ruling in this case is not simply unfair to CareFirst and undesirable from the standpoint of BCBSD and the public, but the commissioner committed reversible error in a number of respects. The first respect has to do with her authority that has been granted to her by statute here in Delaware. She exceeded both her express authority and whatever implied legal authority that she might have. When the commissioner approved the affiliation in the year 2000, she incorporated into her order the hearing officer's report by Battle Robinson, which is included in the appendix. And the hearing officer, following extensive hearings, went through a very careful analysis of the statutory criteria that are set forth in Section 503(d)(1) of Title 18, the Insurance Code. In ordering the tearing apart or the disaffiliation of the companies in 2004, the commissioner did not apply or consider in any way whether those same criteria had been breached or no longer existed. And we would submit that in tearing apart an affiliation of this type, there should be at least as searching an examination of these criteria as there was when the affiliation was first approved. And we would further submit that if such a searching investigation had been done, the court would have before it a much more thorough record on which to examine whether there was substantial evidence to support the commissioner's ruling. The second area in which the commissioner erred was in her finding, which is really the linchpin of her opinion, that the Maryland legislation, by virtue of its passage and its implementation, was a violation of section of condition 4 in the order that the commissioner approved back in 2000. And that order, that condition 4 of her order, has a number of different subparts. But the one that the commissioner relied on here was that there shall be no change in that structure. And the term "that structure" talks about the structure of the two companies that would be set up in the bylaws and in the charter. CAREFER submits that it's clear that the changes that were wrought by the Maryland legislation, apart from whether they were desirable or whether they were wise legislative policy or whatever objections we all may have to them, we submit that it's clear that they did not bring about a change in that structure of the CareFirst board, and therefore there was no violation of condition 4. And if there is no condition, if there is no violation of condition 4, the commissioner's ruling has no basis. I point out that there's nothing in condition 4 or any other part of the commissioner's 2000 order or the hearing examiner's report on which it was based that purports to limit the identity of the Maryland directors of CareFirst. There are very clear powers that are given to BCBSD as a corporation and to the Class 3 directors, who are the BCBSD representatives on the CareFirst board, to veto certain changes that affect BCBSD. But there's nothing in there that would give them a veto over the identity of the Maryland directors on the CareFirst board, nor should there be, because the purpose, as Battle Robinson set forth in her hearing officer's report, of condition 4 was to protect the local nature of BCBSD so that it could continue to serve Delaware subscribers with a local board selected by the Delaware members and directors without interference from Maryland. And there was nothing in the Maryland legislation that interfered with that structure that was set up.
Well, it might not have interfered with the structure. Are you saying it's totally irrelevant that the Maryland legislation will never have any effect on Delaware?
I'm not saying that, Your Honor. I think it is conceivable that something done in the Maryland legislation or something done by CareFirst wholly independent of the Maryland legislation could certainly have an impact on BCBSD. And if it has a negative impact on BCBSD, then at least in certain circumstances, we concede that the Delaware commissioner has the right and the duty to protect Maryland subscribers. But
Maryland subscribers?
I'm sorry, Delaware subscribers to BCBSD.
Well, I think, you know, one way to read the briefs is that the commissioner wants to do that before the horse gets out of the barn, that the Maryland legislation seems to mandate that Maryland be put first. And if anyone's going to pay attention to the Maryland legislation, it would be to the detriment of Delaware, and the commissioner said, we're not going to start on that premise.
I agree with Your Honor that that's what the commissioner said, but the commissioner was wrong. And the commissioner's conclusion that the Maryland legislation will result or is likely to result in substantial risk to BCBSD or harm to BCBSD is based entirely on speculation. And the commissioner went through in her decision this litany of concerns with the mission statement, the nonprofit mission statement, for example. And she came to the conclusion that because the legislature had imposed or reimposed a nonprofit mission on CareFirst, that that would or could cause some greater degree of harm to BCBSD than had been in the past and the future. And she was just wrong. CareFirst had been a nonprofit organization all along, as had BCBSD. If you go through Judge Robinson's order, it's clear that one of the main purposes of the original affiliation was to maintain the nonprofit nature of the two companies. Now, the commissioner seems to have assumed that by nonprofit, it was meant to say that they will lose money or that there's some financial threat by virtue of that nonprofit mission. And I would submit that there's simply no basis whatsoever in the record for that. And in fact, the only evidence from the Maryland Insurance Commissioner, for example, is that there was no requirement that CareFirst be allowed or be required to go into any line of business in which it would lose money. And what happened in Maryland is really very similar to what happened in Delaware back in 2000, where the commissioner wanted to make sure that BCBSD remained nonprofit and that it continued to have concern about the uninsured and underinsured people in Delaware. So what happened in Maryland, if you really look at it objectively, is no different than what has happened here in Delaware and was simply misinterpreted.
Mr. Green, let's go back to structure for a moment. Your position is that there hasn't been any change in the formal structure of the CareFirst board as it was created or put together under the tripartite agreement.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree with that, and I would even go beyond that and not just say formal structure, but I think the structure. I don't think that the changes that were made were structural.
Well, but isn't it, I mean, looking at the big picture and at the reality of what happened, wasn't there a change in the structure, at least in the sense that the Maryland legislature has now superimposed itself above the majority of the entire board of CareFirst?
No.
And whereas before that happened, there was a way in which directors were appointed or elected, and all of those directors were allowed to be, I guess, exercise their independent judgment. But after that, as a result of the legislation, the legislature in Maryland has basically dictated the pool from which the majority of the board will be elected, has taken upon itself or arrogated to itself the power to discipline the majority of directors, that is the class that comprises the Maryland directors, if they vote to lead the corporation on a course that the legislature doesn't like, and in effect has become a super authority over that class of directors that will comprise the majority of the board. That's a change in structure, perhaps not formally, but in reality, is it not?
I don't think so. I think there is clearly a change in identity that is brought about by the legislature, which is unusual, not desirable, but the process, the structure of the company remains unchanged, and it's a one-time change, so that the process by which directors are selected and will continue to be elected will be as it always has been.
But how can that be if the Maryland legislature is basically saying that the class of directors from Maryland or representing Maryland will be vetted by the legislature in advance?
That's a situation that did not exist before. That is correct. I mean, that was not the way that Maryland class had been selected. But as
and
I
isn't
say,
that a structural change?
I don't agree that that's a structural change. I think it's a change in identity. And I think the other important point is that you have to look carefully, I would submit, at the language of that condition 4, where the commissioner said, if there is a change in that structure, you have to come back and get my approval. And if you look at what that structure is, she was not claiming any authority, and I don't think she would have any authority to control who is going to serve as a Maryland director. If you look in Judge Robinson's hearing officer's report, when they were talking about that condition 4, the purpose was to continue those structural protections for BCBSD. And those protections remain in place. And there is no evidence in this record to support the inference that the commissioner made that because somehow there would be a change in these people, that there would be a negative effect upon BCBSD. And that's the commissioner's job, is to protect the people here in Delaware, not the select directors in Maryland.
Mr. Drain, you have 4 minutes left for your rebuttal, and you wanted five. Do you want to continue or save your time?
I would like to save a couple of minutes. I would just like to say that if on these four concerns, the mission statement, the board review, the conversion moratorium, and the change of directors, I think if you look at Judge Robinson's hearing officer's report, which was incorporated into the commissioner's 2000 ruling, you will find that these are not structural changes and that these are perfectly consistent with the rationale for approving this affiliation in 2000. But in summary, CareFirst submits that the commissioner has reached a result that's unfair and injurious to CareFirst, that's undesirable for BCBSD and the Delaware public, and is based on errors of law and unsubstantiated findings of fact based on speculation. The court should reverse the decision in its entirety, or at a minimum, it should remand the case to apply the criteria in Section 5003D and to consider the effects on BCBSD. Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, I'm R.J. Skaggs. I'm here representing the Delaware Department of Insurance. With the court's permission, I'll use about half of the appellee's time. Mr. Swayze, representing Blue Cross Blue Shield Delaware, will use about the other half. To make the most efficient use of our time, I will address primarily questions regarding to the commissioner's authority. Mr. Swayze will address primarily questions concerning the evidence supporting the June 30 order. Before touching on the specific legal arguments, I think it's important to let the court know the essence of what's happening here. The commissioner, Ms. Williams, has acted consistently and diligently to protect Delaware citizens and subscribers. There's been error alleged here, but that conduct has been consistent. Unfortunately, CareFirst has acted anything but consistently. CareFirst affirmatively sought the approval of the insurance commissioner for its affiliation with BCBSD. That affiliation was approved in March of 2000. Maryland legislation then was enacted in May 2003. Here's the response. CareFirst opposed that legislation, even filing claims to challenge its constitutionality. And CareFirst knew at the time that this structural affiliation could not continue after it was enacted. On August 5, 2003, counsel for CareFirst wrote the commissioner. I commend it to the court. That letter is at the appendix in B, 3 through 8. He repeatedly indicated a need for, and I quote, corrective measures to address the concerns of both CareFirst and BCBSD related to the Maryland legislation. He identified four major problems with that legislation that were significant concerns of both companies. Those were the same four major problems that were eventually identified in the commissioner's June 30, 2004 order. The CareFirst board then passed resolutions authorizing disaffiliation subject to regulatory approval. CareFirst then affirmatively sought the approval of the Delaware commissioner for structural disaffiliation, followed by the opportunity to affiliate on a contractual basis. On December 31, 2003, the Delaware Commissioner gave that approval. In Maryland, they waited, and they waited 9 months until October of this year. During that time, CareFirst argued for delay, to wait, to see what happened in Maryland. Maryland, the Maryland Commissioner has rejected contractual affiliation, at least as currently proposed, and will allow structural disaffiliation only if BCBSD pays CareFirst for any increase in value in BCBSD and the BCBS, the Blue Cross Blue Shield service marks, that resulted from this affiliation, a clearly unwarranted attempt to extract value from a Delaware insurer. That decision and this is important because this is one of the reasons that a remand is completely uncalled for here, that decision is not final. And our understanding is CareFirst is pursuing an appeal of that decision. So the assertion in the reply brief that contractual affiliation is no longer a viable option is just incorrect. It very well could be in Maryland. Now, it's also very likely that we'll never find out unless the commissioner's order here is affirmed. So there's a need to do something in Maryland to bring these companies back together if those contractual relationships really hold all the value that CareFirst say they do. That request for remand is really disingenuous and misplaced for other reasons as well. First, the other one is CareFirst now, who is presumptively here to protect its own interest, is saying there should be a remand to protect to look at the effects on Blue Cross Blue Shield of Delaware. And they're here. They're very well able to, and most able to, talk about those effects and whether there should be disaffiliation. There's one other assertion in the reply brief that I should correct. That is, CareFirst is simply wrong when it asserts that the effects that there's been no consideration of effects of complete disaffiliation. The commissioner took substantial evidence and considered what those effects would be, including the need to replace the services currently provided by CareFirst and what would happen to the Blue Cross Blue Shield service marks. So that evidence is there, and there's no reason to go back, send this back to for any reason, including to reconsider that Maryland decision, which will only produce additional delay, which appears to be the purpose here between CareFirst and Maryland, and leave Delaware subscribers at risk. So where does that leave us? CareFirst now challenging the commissioner's approval of affiliation, which it affirmatively sought, and now challenges as excessive and unsupported a structural disaffiliation remedy that it helped design, agreed to accept, and affirmatively sought. Their arguments simply have no credibility before this court at this time. Mr. Drain's statements earlier about all CareFirst would lose if the commissioner's opinion is affirmed is in likelihood something that they've already demonstrated they were willing to accept and sought. Turning to now to these authority issues. First, there were arguments from CareFirst initially in their brief and in the court below that there was a lack of authority to approve initially the affiliation, the order that was issued that allowed the affiliation to go forward. And a telling omission, that argument has been dropped in the reply brief, and Mr. Drain didn't address it here today. I think the reason is that there very clearly was, the commissioner very clearly had authority to approve the affiliation. That authority was not based solely on Chapter 50, the change of control part of the insurance code. It was also based on all the implied powers from that code, and Battle Robinson specifically cited not only Chapter 50 in her report, but also Chapter 3, which provides for the commissioner's general powers. So I don't think there's a need to say much more about that. In any event,
and doesn't the record reflect that CareFirst has submitted itself to the jurisdiction of the commissioner?
Absolutely. That's exactly what they agreed to, and as put in our brief, they are stopped from, at this point in time, challenging that approval. So we think that's strong, and they've accepted the benefits, which they are here to tout for years, and now to go back and say they should have never been approved and apparently never should have happened is something that amounts to an estoppel. So it appears that the crux of the argument from CareFirst today at this level of review is that there are problems with the order to disaffiliate. Its arguments are simply a number of attempts to call question into the commissioner's properly exercised discretion under her authority. Delaware case law and old-fashioned common sense indicate that if the commissioner had authority to issue this order approving the affiliation with conditions, which CareFirst agreed to, she must have the authority to issue an order to remedy a violation of those conditions. And Formosa Plastics v. Wilson is directly on point with this. With With respect to whether there was a need to go back to the Chapter 56 criteria, first, as I said earlier, the affiliation was not approved solely under Chapter 50, that the hearing officer used those six criteria as guidelines to evaluate this unique affiliation, and that those were not considered statutorily imposed requirements. So there was never an obligation to revisit all those criteria. Moreover, in her June 30, 2004 order, Commissioner Williams was acting to remedy a violation of her earlier order. She was not completely reconsidering, nor did she need to, the entire affiliation. She identified risk associated with a violation of a condition, and she acted to eliminate those risks, which she found to be unacceptable. And this is an important point, because the other major issue raised here today by CareFirst is that any harm that the commissioner saw coming to Delaware subscribers is merely speculative. Well, that's not true. The facts are in. The Maryland legislation is there. It's been implemented. It clearly changes the structure of this board. And the important point is this commissioner is elected and paid to evaluate risks to insurers. She audits insurers, she looks at their product lines, their assets, their business relationships, and determines if there are risks that insurer will not be able to pay legitimate coverage claims when they are made. And she looked at the Maryland legislation, its implementation, and assessed the risk, what we pay her to do, and what is within her expertise, and expertise that this court properly gives deference to. So she assessed those risks and acted reasonably to remove those risks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, Gordon, Justice Jacobs, and Justice Holland. Let me introduce my colleague, Michael Teachman, who is with me today. Normally, I'd be introducing the members of the BCBSD board, but this hearing finds them in the middle of their annual meeting, so they're not able to attend today. For ease of reference, let me refer to BCBSD as the Delaware plan throughout my comments. I would, with the indulgence of the court, like to address two issues. One, that there is substantial evidence of record supporting both the determination of a violation of the commissioner's June 04 order and the determination that indeed those violations collectively and individually created undue risk for the future of the Delaware plan. There's been a substantial discussion of the various violations of the June order today, and I won't dwell at length, and time would not permit me to do so if I were inclined to do so, but certainly we have focused on the substantial change in structure of the CareFirst board. We have not discussed some aspects of that, including the expansion of that board to include two politically appointed observers who are there to report to the General Assembly on matters that take place within the privacy of the CareFirst boardroom. And we have not talked about the fact that there's also in the legislation an authorization for an oversight committee with responsibility for determining that the newly created or newly appointed directors who replace all of the majority directors who were sacked under this legislation to make certain that they are in fact abiding by the new mission statement. Now, the attempt has been made to equate the mission statement of CareFirst under the legislation with the nonprofit mission of BCBSD. Indeed, it is a Delaware not-for-profit corporation. There, the comparison ends. Let's remember that this legislation mandates this mission for CareFirst, so that it differs in that respect from what is a charter provision for BCBSD. Second, it returns CareFirst to what effectively was saved from by the original board of directors, those that were sacked. It makes CareFirst once more the insurer of last resort in BCBSD's considered judgment, and that is not something that BCBSD chooses to be a part of. And third, and most importantly, it enforces this new mission. It enforces this new mission by threatening the directors and managers with punitive action should they choose to stray from what the General Assembly perceives to be, or the Commissioner perceives to be, the charitable mission, a nonprofit mission of CareFirst. And this is borne out, I think, dramatically by Mr. Redmer, Commissioner Redmer's report to the General Assembly, in which he finds that both the former chairman, Mr. Altobello, and the current CEO, Mr. Jews, guilty of willfully violating the mission of the corporation, and therefore subject to penalty under sections 114.112 and 14.139 of the Maryland Insurance Code. So we not only have this new mission, but we have a process by which directors are held accountable and are subject to civil and criminal penalties. And if that doesn't differ from the Delaware Plan mission, I'm not sure certain what does. There has been some discussion of the risk, and I just defer to Mr. Skaggs' correct characterization of what is happening here. The determination of risk is a determination of fact based upon present evidence that suggests there are conditions which could cause hardship, financial, reputational, to the Delaware Plan. The Commissioner has the job of sheltering her insureds, including the Delaware Plan, from precisely those kinds of events or outcomes. The risks here are proven and palpable. I just mentioned what I think is the most significant one, and that is the potential disciplinary action against CareFirst directors should they stray from the corporate mission. But there is another one as well, and this has not been referenced. The Commissioner cited it as a violation of her order, and that is the five-year moratorium on the ability of the Delaware Plan to be part of a merger conversion with an attractive affiliate, as would have been the case with WellPoint. It was subject under the original order in 2000 to a two-year moratorium that had long since expired. Commissioner Redmer has now imposed a five-year moratorium commencing as of the date of that legislation, which runs the inability of the Delaware Plan to participate in an advantageous affiliation or merger through June 30 of 2008. This violates conditions 9 and 10 of the Commissioner's order, and she cites that. And that, again, is a very significant problem for the Delaware Plan. I appreciate the fact that CareFirst would like to characterize the proposed disaffiliation as harmful to the Delaware Plan Board. Well, I can assure you that the Delaware Plan Board perceives the legislation as the most harmful thing out there to it. We characterize it as something approximating an expropriation. It is a determination by the Maryland General Assembly as to how this corporation is to operate, and it tells those who are operating it that if they do not toe the mark, they are subject to appropriate discipline.
Let me interrupt you at this point.
Yes, sir.
With respect to the discipline sanctions, was it your intention to say that all of the directors are subject to those sanctions or only the Maryland directors?
That raises an interesting point. The sanctions themselves are imposed on, or potentially imposed on, all of the directors. The Delaware directors are in a very unusual situation, the so-called Class 3 directors, and there are three of them. They are, under the charter, excused in certain situations from exercising fiduciary duties on behalf of CareFirst. They are told that it is appropriate for them to look out for the interests of the Delaware Plan. The legislation does not draw a similar exception. The result of that is that the Delaware directors are caught between a rock and a hard place. If they do what the charter, the CareFirst charter says they can do, and that is do what is in the best interests of the Delaware plan, they are subject to discipline under the Maryland legislation for arguably not abiding by the mission statement or other requirements of the Maryland legislation.
So the Maryland legislation, at least arguably, clouds the protection or firewall that's created by the charter with respect to the Delaware directors.
That is the view, Your Honor, of the Delaware board. Yes.
Is that undisputed, Mr. Stokes?
I'm not certain that colloquy has occurred in any of the proceedings below, but it is something that we have discovered and advised the board about.
I don't know if you were planning to say any more about it, but I took some interest in your comment that the legislation makes CareFirst the insurer of last resort. I think I know what you meant by that, but can you flesh that out a bit?
The board of directors that was sacked came in and saved CareFirst from the brink, the Maryland plan from the brink. It was invested in a number of programs that, in fact, were, frankly, subsidizations of those who are high-risk insurers. The board removed the CareFirst plan from a number of programs, Free State HMO, the SAC plan that they had in Maryland for those that are difficult to insure, and other programs, Medicaid, Medicare, certain Medicaid and Medicare programs. This restored the company to profitability. The Commissioner Redmer, if you read his legislative report, cites those very actions as dramatic examples of how the CareFirst board has abandoned its mission. That is the actions taken by the CareFirst board to restore that company to profitability are precisely the kinds of positives that the Delaware board identified when it did its due diligence. And when it did its due diligence, it said, these folks are operating CareFirst the way we operate Blue Cross and the way that we want, in a way we want to be part of. That has been thrown out the window. And in our view, in the Delaware board's view, the company is in fact being directed to return to the status quo ante.
Thank you, Mr. Slade.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a couple of minutes, and I'd like to make two points, I guess. And I'd like to begin where Mr. Swayze ended. And I think that if it were true that the legislation would force loss of funds by CareFirst, that in effect the legislation was going to, or there was a substantial risk of, or it was likely that it was going to drive CareFirst to financial ruin or to some kind of financial detriment, that would spill over, is likely to spill over, there's substantial risk of it spilling over to Blue Cross, then I think the commissioner's order would be supportable. But there's no evidence of that. And I think, coming back to what Mr. Skaggs says, the Delaware commissioner has the power to look at the assets and the business and the directors of the corporation and evaluating whether a corporation should or should not be sanctioned. She did not do that here. We're talking about these directors and what has been assumed they have done. Yes, they have been appointed by a process set up by the Maryland General Assembly, but I would urge the court to look at the only evidence in the record about those directors. Look at the minutes of the CareFirst board, of the old board, that says that they find that these will be very competent directors. Read their resumes. There is no evidence that they have taken, that they are likely to take any action different than the mission that CareFirst has had in the past, or that they are likely to have any negative impact on CareFirst.
If not, if that is the case, then why would the Maryland General Assembly have taken it upon itself to sack all of the then incumbent directors?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think if you look at the record, the former insurance commissioner of Maryland, Commissioner Larson, was infuriated because CareFirst and Blue Cross both thought, and perhaps they were right, that CareFirst should become a for-profit entity and become part of WellPoint, which is a California company. The commissioner disapproved that and said they should be non-profit. There was an outrage in the General Assembly. They thought that CareFirst should continue non-profit, and in their wisdom or lack of wisdom, they put this process in action by which five of the directors were replaced and then additional ones were elected.
So the directors were replaced because they, the line that they took was not the line that the General Assembly wanted them to take.
Or that the Delaware Commissioner had set for Blue Cross either a non-profit mission in Battle Robinson's report.
The Delaware Commissioner didn't remove anybody, did she?
She did not remove any directors, nor does she have any power to remove directors in Maryland.
Mr. Bray, before you sit down, can you clarify for us whether you're still questioning the commissioner's initial authority?
We are not questioning that for purposes of this proceeding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.